Hey, good morning, everyone. I hope you're doing well today. We're going to go back into the Psalms. And so today we are doing Psalm 55. And so if you have your Bibles there, you can read along with me. So Psalm 55, for the choir director, stringed instruments, a maskil of David. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint, and I am surely distracted. Because of the voice of the enemy, and because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away, I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and tempest. Confuse, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around her upon her walls, and iniquity and mischief are in her midst. Destruction is in her midst, oppression and deceit do not depart from her streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng. Let death come deceitfully upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, for evil is in their dwelling, in their midst. As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me, for there are many who strive with me. God will hear and answer them, even the one who sits enthroned from of old, Selah. With whom there is no change, and you who do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who are at peace with him. He has violated his covenant. His speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. But you, O God, will bring them down to the pit of destruction. Men of bloodshed and deceit will not live out half their days, but I will trust in you. Amen. Okay, let's go through this quickly here. So David is talking here. I mean, this is some idea. We're not quite sure exactly the situation that's at hand here, but most likely he's probably talking about a rebellion. I mean, not but he is definitely talking about a rebellion that's taking place. The city is made dangerous because of rebellion, and David is really just seeking God's face at this time. Most likely, he's talking about Absalom's rebellion, and he's also talking about one of his trusted advisors who basically betrayed him, and this is Ahithophel, and it seems to fit this kind of situation that happens. And if you want to get an idea of the background, it's 2 Samuel 15 to 18. And we see the rebellion of Absalom. And so something seems to fit here. And so he starts off in this psalm, and he's writing here, and he says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide thyself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. It seems that we see in this prayer that David felt that he was quite distant from God. In fact, it may even seem like God would be hiding from him. He asked God to give ear, don't hide from his prayers, give heed, answer me. These are all different aspects. And you'll find that, you know, a lot of times when we go through troubles and we go through difficulties, usually this would be kind of the first conclusion that we make. And I'm sure many of us have come to this place and basically said, God, where are you? You know, why are you not answering me? Why are you not around me? And the idea behind that, if you really break it down, the idea behind that is really that if you had God's presence and if you had God's peace around you, then really you could accomplish anything. And I think that when difficulties or difficult situations become difficulties in our lives, when we don't feel that presence around us. And I think many of us could attest to that. There are definitely things that happen in the world around us. There's definitely things that happen to us. There's definitely situations, like even COVID and all that's going on here, that's caused a lot of distress for a lot of people. I think that the moment happens when it gets unbearable in a certain sense is that when we don't feel God's presence in it, that there's something amiss, there's something going on. And that's when we start crying out to the Lord. Because the reality is, you know, you can handle anything. I mean, you can handle everything when you feel the presence of God. And that's really what David's coming to this place. And he knows that he can accomplish anything. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But when we don't feel that strength, we don't feel that presence of the Lord, that's when we will succumb to a lot of different things that happen around us. And he says, give heed to me, answer me. I'm restless in my complaint, and I'm surely distracted. It's a joy for us that we're able to complain to God in that same way that David is complaining to the Lord. And that should be good news for all of us in this place, that we can actually offer up complaints and, you know, things that are really really in our hearts, and God's not offended by it at all. In fact, God welcomes it, and he is our refuge in this place when we go through these times. And so probably best to complain to God instead of complaining to other people. I remember RT Kendall, you know, he used to say when he came and spoke at SB, he says that, you know, it's probably good not to complain to so many people, but you should have, you know, one or two very, very close friends that you could actually really complain to, that won't, you know, that won't judge you, that it won't have a kind of a negative effect on in that way. I don't know about any of you, but, you know, that person to me is my wife. And, you know, she's been always great to listen to, you know, my foolishness at many different times, and, you know, not judging me, but just always encouraging. And I hope and pray that you do have someone like that in your life. Obviously, the best person is God. But I think at the same time, in RT's wisdom, he says, you know, we probably need, you know, that type of person on earth as well. And so hopefully you can have that kind of person. And so he continues on and he says, you know, there's complaint, he's distracted because of the voice of the enemy, because of the pressure of the wicked, they bring down trouble upon me. And anger, they bear a grudge against me. So something is happening. There's a rebellion that's going on, and it's causing him great, great grief in this place. And then he shares a little bit more about what's happening within him. And he says, my heart is in anguish within me. Terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me. The horrors overwhelm me. I mean, he's in serious distress. And I don't know if you've ever been in this kind of moment, but man, you could feel the pain and you could feel the trauma and the things that he's going through at this time. And so this is where his recourse in verse 6, he says, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. And then there's the the selah, just the pause that happens here. And David wished that he could escape this terror-filled situation. That and he says that I would remain in the wilderness. The wilderness is not like a lonely place for him. The wilderness is really the place where God really met with David. I remember when he was a shepherd and he was out in the wilderness, and he would worship the Lord. He would watch over his sheep. He would beat, you know, bears and lions, and, you know, and all these different things that would happen to him. And so he's recounting basically a moment that he was really close with God. This is probably before all the weight of the kingdom, you know, all the weight of responsibility. You know, he was just tending sheep, and in the wilderness, God was just really meeting with him in a powerful way. And so he just says, man, if I could just fly to that place, if I had wings like a dove, if I could just escape from this place altogether and just, you know, go back to that moment. And I'm sure we've all felt like that, you know, when we've gone through such difficulty. We think of a really, really good moment of our lives, and we say, oh, if I could escape, if I could just, you know, go to this place. And David is, you know, is like us. And then there's a pause here. And Spurgeon, in his commentary, he says this. He says, basically, it would have been more honorable for David to have asked for the strength of an ox to bear his trials than for the wings of a dove to flee from them. And, you know, it's an interesting take, you know, on something that's happening here. And maybe that's better prayer, you know, that we look at what Spurgeon was talking about. Maybe it's better not to ask to escape. And I know, you know, David's just sharing this, but maybe it's better to ask for strength to endure during this time. Continues on in verse 9. He says, confuse, O Lord, divide their tongues, for I've seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around her upon her walls, and iniquity and mischief are in her midst. Destruction is in her midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from her streets. And so he prays that, Lord, confuse them, divide their tongues. This actually is literally what happened. He's making a reference to the speech of their enemies. And there was some kind of verbal attack upon David. You know, maybe people were spreading rumors. Maybe people were questioning David in a lot of different ways. And it seems to be this kind of subtle, in a way, kind of a whispering attack that's happened here in this place. You know, I mean, I could relate to this in many different ways. But he says here, and he says, Lord, confuse them, divide their tongues. It seems as if, like I said, if this is the rebellion of Absalom and his counselor Ahithophel, this basically happens in 2 Samuel 17, 1 through 23. We find that this basically takes place, and there was a division among Absalom's advisors, particularly Ahithophel and Hushai, and they seem to be very confused about the situation and give him, you know, different advice, and really brings confusion into this camp. And brothers and sisters, by the way, you know, whenever there's great confusion, you can bet that the enemy is working. It's quite interesting that we see this kind of pattern all throughout scriptures. There seems to be, I mean, so much confusion that begins to happen, and you can almost, I mean, just immediately say, man, you know, the enemy is at work, you know, that's causing this to take place, and or God's causing the confusion as an answer to prayer, like in this situation here. And you can see that confusion's effective. And so when you get around confusion, don't act, don't do anything until you get that sense of order and you get that sense of God moving and working. verse 12, now David is, it gets a little closer. As for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me, then I could hide myself from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. We who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng. And we see now that this person was his friend. Most likely, this person he's talking about is his son. And you can't imagine the wounding in his heart. And any of us that have ever been betrayed by people close to us, you can feel David's pain. You know, he says, if an enemy comes against me, I can handle it. I could bear it. You know, it's like I can get over it. But when it's someone close and they come upon and do this, it's in David's words, and not his words, but his thoughts, it's kind of unbearable, you know, and especially someone, you know, that went to a temple together with him. They had fellowship. They walked into the house of God, and there was this closeness and this familiarity. And out of this place comes betrayal. And that's what betrayal is. You have to understand the enemy. I mean, if he really, really wants to hurt us, he's not going to use people that are unfamiliar with us. He's going to use people that's close to us. And I know that it sounds crazy to think of in those terms, but that's one of the tactics of the devil. And we see this happening here in David. And then he says something interesting. He says in verse 15, he says, let death come deceitfully upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, for evil is in their dwelling, in their midst. And this phrase, let them go down to Sheol, let them go alive to Sheol, was an echo, really, of Moses. And in Numbers 16:30, he had called for proof for resisting him. That basically the rebels in resisting him was actually resisting God. And so David is making a very similar plea in this way. But notice the singular moves to plural. And this is why I probably think this is Absalom and his friends and his rebellion. Notice that because David's father, he couldn't send his son to hell, to Sheol. But he sends his friends there, you know, the others there, because he moves from singular to plural in this place. And so, it's, you know, it seems kind of logical understanding. But then he says that, you know, this all happens, but in 16, and you see a turning that happens here. As for me, I shall call upon the Lord. The Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. And these are the hours of prayer. And that's what he'll do. He'll pray. He'll talk to God about this thing, and God will save him. And we are so guilty, and we are so prone to complain to so many other people. But David says, I'm just going to complain to God. You know, I'm going to go to the Lord in the hour of prayer, and I'm going to seek his face. And out of that place, he will save me. He will redeem my soul, 18, in peace from the battle which is against me. There are many who strive with me. God will hear and answer them, even the one who sits enthroned from of old. And there's the Selah. There's that pause. And so that's what he's saying. He's going to come into this place, and he's going to complain to God. He's not going to complain to others. He's going to complain to the Lord, and God will save him in this place. Let me see. Let's just continue on. With whom there is no change, and do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who are at peace with him. He has violated his covenant. His speech was smoother than butter, but his heart was war. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. And this is also, you know, kind of the sin of Absalom. You know, Absalom could say, oh, David's a great king, and yet have such destruction in his heart. This is what we call the Absalom spirit. It could flatter you with the tongue You know, his speech is like butter, words are like butter, but his heart is war. And that's basically what Absalom did. Absalom said, oh, David's a good king, you know, but you need to come talk to me. You know, meet me at the square and I'll handle things. You know, David, he's so busy, you know, he's got so much on his plate. And so let me take care of you. Take care of your grievances that you have against David and against the kingdom. And so you got to be careful of this kind of speech that happens here. And in verse 22, his conclusion, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken, but thou, O God, will bring them down to the pit of destruction. Men of bloodshed and deceit will not live out half their days. In other words, it's going to, the destruction is coming their way, but the chorus, but I will trust in thee. There's probably not a greater burden than a close friend becomes an enemy. And David knew that this was his burden to bear in this way. And so he prays here. He says, you know, for this, you know, I think he's speaking to himself, cast your burden on the Lord. This is a burden that's very difficult to bear. And cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will make sure that you don't stumble in this place. It's interesting, you know, when we think about this, obviously it's better if this doesn't happen altogether, but then we wouldn't know of God's sustenance in our lives. There are certain trials and things that I think that we have to go through to really learn the character of God and the faithfulness of the Lord. And that's kind of what's taking place here. And I know it's hard for us to think through that, but that's what happens here in David. But he ends the chorus, he says, but I will trust in you. And he seems to make a conclusion of this situation. But Lord, whatever the case, but I am going to trust in you. In other words, I'm not going to focus on my enemies. I'm not going to focus on my adversaries. I'm not going to focus on the situation that's at hand. Lord, I'm just going to trust you. I'm going to basically give myself to you in this place. And so let's close our eyes. And I'm wondering, maybe we're going through something. Maybe there's some situation that's at hand. Maybe there's some issue that's very difficult for us to handle right now. And the Lord wants to speak to you. The Lord wants you to know that you can talk to him about it. You can complain to him. Don't complain to others, you know, unless I'm talking about your spouse or someone very close to you. You can complain to him and he will sustain you. And hopefully that you can come to this place like David did, that you come to this place of trust and say, God, I'm just going to give this situation into your hands. I'm not going to focus on the wrong that was done to me or any of these things. Lord, I'm just going to trust in you. And so can I encourage us to just go before the Lord right now? And as a worship leader comes to lead us, if we could just, whatever situation, the difficulty that's come upon us, either at work or relationships or in your family, that we can just trample and say, Lord, I trust in you. Ultimately, this thing is about me and you. It's between me and you, Lord. And I choose to trust you in this place. Can we have that kind of, ask the Holy Spirit to lead us into that kind of resolve as we sing?
To see things like you do. give me wisdom. You know just what to do.
Let's spend some time and let's just go before the Lord and let's surrender. Whatever the situation is, like David does, he says, as for me, I shall call upon God and the Lord will save me. 22, cast your burden upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Can we have those thoughts and those verses in our heart, and let's just go before the Lord. And let's cast those burdens. Let's call upon the Lord. Let's leave it into his hands. Can we do that? Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to find Jesus. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer-related illness. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Let's ask God's hand to be upon this nation. You know, all the eyes of the world are on them right now as the Olympics is going on. Let's pray for our ministries there, SPBJ, SPSH. Let's pray for the Chungs. Let's lift up churches. Let's pray for our leaders. Let's just ask God to really move and reign in this place. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to bring us just really heavenly unity, deep love for God and for one another, and that we would receive wisdom from the Lord to lead SP. Let's cover our fellowship ministries, our young adults, our men's and women's. Let's pray for all their activities. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really come and just draw people closer to God and to each other. Let's continue to pray for SP 2.0, pray for building and resources, pray for the Vision Fund and the benefactor. Let's ask the Lord's continued hand upon this. Let's pray for our ladies who are pregnant. Let's ask God's hand upon them. Pray for their womb. The babies would be safe. Let's just pray the joy of God will be upon them, as many of these are first-time moms. And let's pray that they would really enjoy this whole experience, even despite, you know, morning sickness and discomfort and all those things. Let's pray. Let's pray for house church tonight. Chaiti, Fortress, Gia, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TST, and Westville. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead and guide the conversations and just the connection, even though it's on Zoom or on Google Meets or whatever it may be, that people would really draw close to God and to one another.
Father, we thank you.
Yeah, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. We just thank you for David's experience, Lord, that even though he was going through such difficulty, Lord God, he decided, God, to trust in you, Lord. He made a commitment to trust in you, to complain to you, God, to cast his burdens upon you. And I pray that we would operate in the same example, Lord. Many of us will not feel the betrayal such as he has, God, but we'll also encounter other difficulties, Lord. And so would you really help us, God? Would you really draw us to you, Lord, and give us a strength, God? Lord, we don't want to fly away, God. Lord, we want strength to bear whatever comes our way, God, to pick up our cross daily and follow after you. And so we thank you, Lord. Thank you that, Lord, that you will sustain us no matter what. You will not cause the righteous to be shaken. And so we bless you, Father. Watch over us. Watch over our community today in our city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time and stay safe. And we'll see you tomorrow morning. God bless you. Bye.